Joining us now in the KYMN studios, Northfield Schools Superintendent, Dr. Matt Hillman. Matt, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in again today.
Good morning, Jeff. Welcome back. We missed you, and Rich and Lisa did such a capable job last week, but I know we're all thrilled when Jeff Johnson's back in the driver's seat.
Just thrilled.
I think Rich is the most thrilled, actually.
I am pretty sure Rich is the most thrilled. Boy, it's we were talking right before we went on the air. This is the last day of February. It's we've got so many things going on, especially sports. And Northfield's had a lot of success in sports. The athletic department in general, and the student athletes, the coaches and student athletes in particular, have done a great job this year.
We've had some just outstanding individual and team performances, and I think it just goes to the culture that the community has of hard work and achievement. And, we've got several things to highlight today. You know, I want to congratulate Ali Malika and Bella Presnell, who participated in the state gymnastics meet last weekend. So congratulations to them. That's such a special event. Our boys swim team, they not only won the true team meet of the section about a month ago, they also won the section tournament over the weekend. And so congratulations, and a number of individuals also going to state. We have three wrestlers, Keith Harner, Ryan Kuiper, and Owen Murphy, who qualified for the state wrestling tournament that's coming up. And then tomorrow night, our Northfield Raiders boys hockey team take on New Prague in the section championship. That'll be down in Rochester. I'm guessing there might be something with Northfield Live there, so yep. We appreciate, again, we really appreciate that partnership that we have with KYMN and Northfield Live and Lance, who is really helping make sure that people have access to that live stream. I know I took advantage of it, several times last week when I couldn't be at an athletic. In fact, I was having my car repaired, a warranty repair on Saturday, and it took several hours to get that done, and I was watching the Raider hockey live stream while sitting in the auto repair center. So it really extends the opportunity for people and the great experience that our students get who are helping with the production of those programs. So great winter season so far for Raider athletics, and continuing on here with hopefully some more this week.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on this week, and including state championships for the the wrestlers and the swimmers, and a lot of people involved in that. Special time for the kids. Last week, unfortunately, I missed it, but I understand we had a few little bit of snow, and you had to not call school, but there was no on campus. Obviously the kids couldn't get to school with 20 inches of snow. Let's talk about the snow days, I'm trying to think of the term, the learning, e-learning,
yep.
I guess.
Sure, e-learning is the term we've used up until this point. Yep.
Okay, let's go with the e-learning. Tell us about that and where you're sitting at. Do you budget a certain amount of days within the calendar? How does that work?
That's a great question. And so obviously this winter has been one that it's been, I'm not going to call it a gift. Whatever it is, it keeps on giving, right? It's the winter that keeps on giving with a variety of interesting. I'm trying to remember the last time we had a winter with two blizzard warnings. Just think about that. So, we're used to snow, but blizzard warnings are a serious thing. So we've had quite a winter, and we have had, unfortunately, to call school a number of days over the year. And so we do have, by state statute and by our local plan, the state allows schools to do up to five what they call e-learning days in statute. So regardless of whether you have an additional online program approval, every school in the state can do five e-learning days. Our local plan also says that generally we will have up to five e-learning days each year. Then there's a second portion of how schools can deliver online learning during weather-related issues, and actually anytime, is through something that's called the online program approval. So we have a fully authorized online program. We do call it Portage, is the way that most people understand how that works in our district. We do use that approved online learning program to do some other things, and we are able to continue on with some online learning for the remainder of the school year should we need it. The board did approve last night to authorize the superintendent to use online learning for the remainder of the year in cases where we just aren't able to safely transport students to school. So you're going to hear us just shift terminology because the state statute uses the term e-learning. We have additional authority beyond that because of online learning. And for folks at home, it's going to be exactly the same. For example, if on an e-learning day, if a family says, you know, we're not going to participate in e-learning today, a family can call their student in and, you know, they are excused. And if it will be the same thing, online learning is something we're allowed to offer to families but not able to require it. So we'll run it very similarly to how we did an e-learning day, expecting, you know, people to be there. And if they aren't, that's no problem. They can just let us know and they call their attendance line and say, my student's going to be an excused absence for the day. So I am hopeful that this is the kind of winter security blanket. If you have it in your vehicle, you don't need it. So we're hoping that the board passing additional online learning days in the case of inclement weather for the rest of the year is something we have in our back pocket, but we don't need. However, we do know there's some state tournaments coming up, and we have a history in Minnesota of snow and state tournaments. So cross your fingers and do the anti-big snow dance, right? And we'll hopefully get to spring here very quickly.
You know, you think back, it was just a few years ago that I think there was a, it kind of factored in about like 10 snow days, and we have more than that a few years ago, all the way into May. But now with the online learning, the e-learning, has that changed the thought pattern of when you're going to cancel school? Is it better to be safe than sorry because, hey, the kids can learn at home? Has that had really any effect on it?
I would say that it has not had an effect on our decision making. We prefer to have students in school when we are able to, and we would like them there every day if we can. There are times where we just can't do that, and we do have a backup plan where we used to have a backup plan too. It means you'd come to school more in June. Let me tell you, that was real popular with a lot of people. And so this ability to be able to try to make up in flight, no one's going to pretend that an online learning day is the same as being in school. It's a bridge through a winter event. And so trying to maintain curriculum momentum, giving families of elementary students some activities to complete, you know, while they're at home on what would be considered a snow day, does keep our curriculum moving forward. It's not perfect because we've had a substantial number of them this year. We are able to do really kind of a case review and a case study and strengthen the program for moving forward. But it is not something where we take it necessarily into consideration when making a decision about whether to come to school or not.
Superintendent Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. Let's talk about last night's meeting with the school board. We've talked a lot about the budget, and that process is ongoing. And you're looking at making some tough decisions as far as that budget goes. Fortunate thing is you're seeing this in advance, and you can plan for it thoughtfully. But what were the things that were discussed last night with the budget?
So last night was really the kickoff of the discussion about what will we prioritize in our budget for next year. And if you'll remember, just going to go back a year, Jeff, if you remember, we had a very substantial community involvement in prioritizing certain aspects of our budget last year. We had over 70 people involved at some point in that process, and they developed a set of priorities, and the initial round of budget reductions were made last year using those priorities, prioritizing the things that the community said we need to make sure we fund these things first. We continue to experience declining enrollment and the chronic state underfunding that I've talked about many times. And so this year we are looking at about $2.5 million of additional budget reductions. This is financial management in action. It is tough. There is nothing that is good about it. However, this is the responsible actions that school districts need to take to make sure that they can maintain their budget, not just for today, but for the future. And anytime we reduce budgets in schools, of course we are going to impact people. We are a people business. We hire people to do good things for kids, and you can't make substantial budget adjustments in any school without impacting people. So the board heard last night for the first time a list of recommended reductions for the 23-24 school year, again, based upon the feedback from those budget teams last year. We did talk in detail. The document is on our website. You can get it through the board packet, or you can actually also see it in our most recent news story post. That was a message that we sent to families last Thursday explaining the budget process and giving a link to this document that includes the rationale and the why, and then what are the list of things that are being recommended for reduction. The item last night that I think is fair to say had the largest amount of discussion, two things. One is the proposal to eliminate most middle school after school activities. And so our concept is that looking at replacing those with a community education style intramural program, but just not the same kind of interscholastic competition that people would typically think of as a school sports program. There's also some non-athletic activities that are part of that, part of the proposal. And those are programs that could typically be offered in a community education facet. There was a lot of discussion by the board and some real concern about that part of the proposal. So, of course, we as administrators make recommendations based on those priorities. These are tough choices, right? We're now at a point where several of the priorities do come into conflict, and this is where our elected representatives give us the direction as to which way to go. So if you are listening, I think I would be disheartened, seriously disheartened, if people weren't upset about a number of the things that are on the list of potential reductions for next year. Everything that we have in the school district has value and means something to someone. Unfortunately, we are at a point due to chronic state underfunding. We heard yesterday that the state legislature is going to maintain about $17.5 billion in surplus, even when they factor in inflation, which is pretty remarkable. So we are really hoping that this is a year where we see another version of the Minnesota miracle. And I'm not talking about Stefan Diggs. I'm talking about Governor Wendell Anderson back in the early 1970s when Minnesota really changed the way that it funded schools and really set off probably close to 40 years of really high success of Minnesota public education. That's the kind of thinking that we need right now. We have the ability to do some structural change, adding 5% to the basic formula in each year of the biennium, finally tying the formula to inflation, and eliminating the special education cross subsidy. Those things are good starts. In addition, limiting new mandates, and if you do put a new mandate in, make sure that you fund it. So that's step one. And then the second part of our budget issue is declining enrollment. And even when you see those increases at the state, when you have a system that funds the number of students that you have, you don't realize the entirety of what the state will give you if you have declining enrollment. So we have those two things that are affecting us. That's why we need to adjust the budget. And I would, again, be disheartened if people didn't have some strong opinions about some of the things on the list of recommendations. The board really discussed in detail the middle school activities part. And then we're also really doing a deep dive into how do we make some adjustments in our transportation system. Our transportation system is already incredibly efficient. And so you just can't do a lot of cutting of routes without adding a substantial amount of time for students on the bus. So we are exploring, again, no decisions yet, but we've been exploring and haven't even made a proposal on this yet. But we've been looking at, there are some districts, it's not a ton of districts, but there are some districts that have been able to do some strategic charging for transportation within a certain range. And so that's something that's being evaluated right now. We know there's a few districts in the metro area that have successfully implemented that. Not saying that we'd love to do that, but this is the kind of thing that we're exploring. Trying to leave all things, no stone unturned, if you will, when it comes to these kinds of reductions. I encourage people to watch the board meeting from last night where we presented the reductions, and you can also see the list on our school district website.
The budget for the next school year is going to be coming up. You'll have to have a final approval for it, but by, what, May, the end of May or so?
June 30th is when we're required to, the June 30th is when we are required to have that adopted. We plan to have our budget adopted in May.
Okay. Yep. There is still several months of working in progress, so you'll have some time to find some solutions. But, for the listeners out there, can you give us kind of a time frame of, their opportunities to respond to this, when the board will be taking some action on this, and what the future looks like for the next few months?
Absolutely. So the initial list of budget proposals was shared with the board last night. People can make their feedback heard in a number of ways. They can certainly email the board, and you can get our email address. It's board@northfieldschools.org, and you can certainly email the board or email me directly with any feedback that you might have. There's also the opportunity for public comment at each board meeting. Again, we have about 30 minutes set aside for that. Speakers have 3 minutes apiece. Our next board meeting would be March 13th. We also have two public hearings set up, Jeff, and this is for March 16th and March 23rd. They'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Northfield Middle School. There will be an opportunity to hear a presentation, to actually break into small groups with representatives of the board and representatives of the administration. So if you're not comfortable in speaking in front of a big group, you can talk in a smaller group about your feelings, and then you can come back to the auditorium for, you know, a more traditional public comment style opportunity. On April 10th, we are asking the board to authorize the budget reduction package. May 8th, the board hears the general fund presentation for 23-24, and then on May 22nd, the board would approve the general fund budget for 23-24.
Superintendent Hillman, once again with us. Anything else you'd like to discuss from last night's school board meeting or anything coming up within the school district?
I just think for our listeners, the time is now to make our voices heard at the Capitol. Our declining enrollment is another piece that we continue to work on. There's some things we can't control, lower birth rates. There are some things that I know that our community is working on in terms of expanding housing for a variety of different incomes and for a variety of different kinds of stakeholders. But what we can do right now is make our voices heard at the Capitol. And so we need to share with people that this is a seminal moment in terms of supporting public education, which is the foundation of our democracy. I mean, we just know that. It's one of the few places that all of us come together and learn about one another and learn about our democracy and our nation together. And so this is a moment where the state does have a surplus that they can help do some structural work specifically around the basic formula, tying it to inflation, eliminating the special education cross subsidy. So if you're listening and you say, boy, I wish I could do something to help, even if you aren't saying, boy, I wish I could do something to help, please help us out. Contact our representatives and ask them to fully fund the special education cross subsidy, to increase the formula, and to tie it to inflation. If you would like some talking points, feel free to email me and I'd be happy to share some with you.
All right. Have you been up to the Capitol the last week or so?
I have. I was
quite a bit of time up there.
I was there last week. In fact, three members of our board and I went to observe the House Education Finance Committee meeting last week. We got to see Representative Purcell introduce a bill specifically to extend long-term facilities maintenance revenue to cooperatives like the Cannon Valley Special Education Cooperative that we belong to, so that they can also take care of their facilities. We had a chance to meet with Representative Purcell. We actually had a chance to meet with our former Senator Rich Dreheim just by happenstance, and we are scheduled to have a meeting with Senator Bill Liske tomorrow. I will be up at the Capitol. I'll be testifying on a bill in the Elections Committee that would allow local school boards to renew operating levies that had already been passed by the public in the past. And so that's one of our Minnesota Association of School Administrators priorities this year. We know well over 90% of operating levies are renewed by voters. And so there's a cost to school districts. Of course, it would have to be on the ballot to say, if you pass this referendum in the future, the board could choose to renew it without having to go back to the voters for approval. So we'll be up there tomorrow, and we'll continue to work with the legislature as we move ahead.
All right. We wish you the best, and thank you so much for coming in today.
It's my pleasure, Jeff. Thanks. Welcome back.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hill.